Hello, cyclocross friends, and welcome to episode 103 of Crosshairs Radio. On today's show, we have our United States Cyclocross Nationals preview show. We're going to run down the 17 to 18 U23 and Pro Elite men's and women's fields. And to help me do that, Mr. David Palin. And as sad as we are that Scott Diedenbach couldn't be with us today, we are super pleased to have sitting in for him, Scott Herman. Scott Herman, who will be out in Reno on Sunday at the finish line, announcing the biggest races of the day. Scott brings a lot of knowledge on U.S. cyclocross to the show, so it was great to have him chime in on the conversation. Want to get started quickly, but before I do that, I have to tell you about the sponsors for our shows today. I think you already know one of them. It is Health IQ. Quick story here. End of the year, actually met with a financial planner. I was adulting, and one of the things that we talked about is that through my work, I get some level of life insurance, but it wasn't enough. And this person was like, hey, you should really look into getting supplemental or getting another source of life insurance. And I was like, hey, I can do that because I know exactly where to go. And that is healthiq.com/CXHairs because I've been on Zwift. I've been on my trainer. I've been going to the gym. I've been working out. I've been living a healthy lifestyle. I'm a vegetarian. These are all things that Health IQ says, hey, you're the type of person that we want as a customer because you're a good risk. And by taking our little quiz at healthiq.com/CXHairs, we'll know that you're a good risk and you live a healthy lifestyle. The questions are written in a way that gets the answers that they know that you're serious and you're honest about your lifestyle. They know that healthy people are going to live longer, that they can invest in you. And that investment in you means that they want to attract you as a customer. Therefore, they're going to give you lower rates on life insurance. HealthIQ.com/CXHairs. Other sponsor, you already know this one too. If you've listened before, it's a Wide Angle Podium Podcast Network. Really stoked on how the network has grown over the past year. We're really excited to even increase the viewership and also the quality of shows in the future. If you heard us before, we're sponsoring an athlete, and it's one of the coolest things ever. We're sponsoring Katie Compton for next year. Wide Angle Podium is going to be an official sponsor, or already is an official sponsor of Katie Compton. That's the kind of things that you all made possible by going to wideanglepodium.com, selecting the donate button, and becoming a member. $5 a month and on up. We'd love to get you at $10, $15, $20, whatever it takes. To help us continue to put out the quality programming that you have come to enjoy. Just to look down what we have here out recently, if you look on the Wide Angle Podium lineup, Consummate Athlete Podcast just came up with Your Pelvic Health with Dr. Abby Bales, physical therapist. She owns her own practice, specializes in working with pregnant and postpartum athletes in New York City. That's not something you're getting everywhere. You're getting it here on the wideanglepodium.com, Wide Angle Podium Podcast Network, and the Consummate Athlete Podcast. We got to hang out. They just came out with a new episode. They have Reese Newman of Omada. I had no idea what Omada was until I clicked on it, and I was like, oh, that's that. And it's this analog bike computer with, like, dials, like a chronometer, like something you should have on your watch if you're James Bond. It's sweet. And they talked to the Reese Newman, who is the co-founder of that company. So that's pretty cool as well. The Honest Bicycle Program has a new show out. You got to go check that one out. Also, Kids Don't Follow. We got Elliot and Taylor and myself together, talked about music. If you want something that's not bikes, go listen to Kids Don't Follow. And right now, what you should listen to is our Reno Cyclocross course. It's not course. It's a race preview. It's predictions. Who's going to win? We talk about Reno. We're talking about Cyclocross Nationals. Scott Herman, David Palin. I believe I'm handing this off to David. So everybody cross their fingers that he's able to pull this off. But let's go to him right now. Here he is, David Palin. All right, I'm going to do my best.
What? Hey. Do you want to kick it off? Huh? Or am I kicking it off? All right. Of course, we're not going to edit this out. Go ahead.
I was going to say I'm going to do my best Scott Dienbach, but I think, David, you should do your best Scott Dienbach. Go.
Okay, Crosshairs Radio listeners. My name is Mr. David Palin, and today, filling in for the Scotty D, on my left is Scott Herman.
Did you have to flip a coin for that?
I had to figure out, is it left facing the computer or right?
The stage left.
I never can remember. Sorry, Scotty D, I'm blowing it already, which means on my right. Go ahead, Bill. Here's your chance.
I think you have a backwards podium.
Oh, yeah.
You got to flip that around.
This is what happens. So narrow, too. If I had a wide-angle podium, we could have figured it out. But on my right is, that's Bill Chaiken, the one and only Bill Chaiken of Crosshairs Radio. Afternoon, gents.
Hey, David.
Hey.
How's it going?
It's going great. I am so excited. This is our pre-Nationals show. We have Nationals coming up in just a month from today, February 10th, in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Oh. Look at you.
Fat Bike Nationals. Yep. Yeah. And we're here
to talk about it. And let's go through, right? Is that what we're here for, Bill?
Yeah. Do we have start lists already for that?
There is.
I'm just gonna stay real quiet in the background.
Is this just gonna be one of those snow crits that everybody complains about?
It will be cold. I'll tell you that.
Will there be snow?
I'll tell you, the permafrost that we have after the last week may still be around. It's tough to predict the weather a month out. Kind of like when they're talking about Reno CX Nats being cold and wet just last week, and now it's talking about being warm and dry.
I can't remember where I heard the rumor, and maybe it's not even a rumor, but fact, or maybe I'm just making it up, but I think this is the last ever Fat Bike Nationals.
Really?
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
When they figured that national didn't really cover a fat bike. I mean, it's big here in Michigan. I know it's big in Minnesota. It's some of the mountain resorts up in northern New England. It's not real big everywhere else, though.
Utah as well, and Montana, I think.
Yeah.
And why is it always in cold climates?
They're hoping for snow, aren't they?
But can't you have it on a beach somewhere?
Oh, now you're going to start into beach racing, aren't you?
Yeah. Why can't you have Fat Bike Nationals on a beach? Why are you discriminating against the beach people?
Is beach racing the next big growing sport?
I don't know.
You know, they do it, right? Overseas. It's a thing.
What's that?
It's a thing.
Beach racing?
The beach racing. They have the beach racing world championships? No, you guys aren't with me on this?
Sure.
I missed it on speed, though.
You know, I knew that David was going to do the little intro in there. I didn't realize he was hosting the show as well. So just keep on rolling. Where are we starting? I will just jump in and say that we're here, sort of at the last minute. We weren't really going to record until Nationals. We decided, hey, what the heck? One person tweeted and asked where our preview show was, and we went, well, we got to make everybody on Twitter happy, so let's have a preview show. And then Scott Dienbach decided he wasn't going to be available because he's off traveling before Nationals. So we brought in the one less teed Scott Herman, to fill in. And thanks for joining us, Scott.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's I was kind of wondering the same thing. I saw some other media outlets putting out some written word, and I thought, well, wait a minute, where is my?
This is a phone call from Reno, Nevada, which
coming in live. I will coming in hot.
I will decline. Right? But that's how near we are to Nationals that they're calling in.
Yeah, they are. The racing has already begun in Nationals. I'll make that point. I haven't been looking at all the results, but the racing did begin yesterday with the non-championship races, and they started today. There are indeed some of the championship races, including, you know, it's interesting to me how big some of the fields are in races you may not have predicted big fields, like the men's 65 to 69 still has 25 participants. Even 75 to 79, the men have four participants in that race. So it's interesting how you can have some longevity in this sport.
We had a request. We just had our promoters meeting for the Super Series in the Mid-Atlantic, and one of the items on our agenda was a request from one of the clubs asking when we were going to have a 70-plus category in our race series.
We have just done away with that locally, and much to the chagrin of one of the riders who used to drive down from the Traverse City area 4 hours to come race in the 70-plus field.
Yeah, we're not at the point where we're ready to implement that, but you know, we just went to 40, 50, 60 for this season, which I think was successful. So we'll be there eventually.
Yeah. I won't steal the OVCX thunder, but there was a lot of movement, and they're going to add an older age group in the OVCX for next year as well.
Nice.
Demographics change. Got to change the racing, right?
Yeah. We forced all those baby masters to go have to race open again, much to their chagrin. But
go ahead.
No, you.
I will kick us off because we'll start with let's talk about the junior men. This is going to cover the racing that we will see on Sunday, and we will see it because I know I will be getting out there Thursday night, and you're leaving tonight, if I'm not mistaken, right, Bill?
I am I'll be heading to the airport at about 4 a.m. and then, you know, have an early morning flight tomorrow.
Okay, and then you will be hosting the women's...
There's a women's cycling panel at Patagonia on Wednesday night, tomorrow night, or probably tonight if you're hearing this when it comes out. And if you're in Reno, I hope everybody stops by the Reno Patagonia store. I believe it is at 7 p.m. it starts.
Yeah, that'll be great. I think it's time that we really are giving the women their due, their place on the stage as they so deserve. I understand friend of the show, podcast, friend of the show and podcast listener, Katie Macarelli will be there, as well as some other key people from the industry.
Yeah, great group of panelists, including Katarina Nash, who I really want to ask if she's racing nationals, since Sforza always, you know, puts her down as an American, if that is enough to get her into the race.
It should be. I mean, she's red, white, and blue are her colors.
This is true.
Yeah. I noticed that Cliff signed her up for another year.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, it's all exciting. And then Scott, you're getting there on Saturday night, Sunday morning.
So it's the last flight in on Saturday. I'll arrive on Reno just in time for Sunday.
To be, as I've said before, Bill Chaiken, the voice of American cyclocross.
Yeah.
Scott, I'm not saying a word. Not saying a word.
You better say lots of words once that race day starts. Yeah. So when you're when you're listening to the webcast with Brad and Tim, I don't know who else is in the booth. In the background, one of the voices you will hear in the background from the PA system at the venue will be Scott Herman.
Yeah, be myself. Chad Andrews will be there. I believe Meredith Miller will be on the stage with us as well.
Awesome.
Should be a good day.
That makes it worth going. If you're not going just to watch the racing, go to listen to Scott Herman call a race.
Yeah, and, you know, speaking of Meredith Miller, we actually got a voicemail message that is asking crucial questions about her about what are the expectations are for Meredith Miller at this national championship. So let's play that right now.
Hi, guys. This is Katie Macarelli from Feedback Sports here in Golden, Colorado. We are heading out for Reno tomorrow morning. And my question is, Meredith Miller ready with her heckle game? Because last year, Georgia set the bar pretty high. She heckled me saying that her baby that wasn't born yet was faster than me. So I expect really good things from Meredith. I expect her to bring her A game. So I'd like to know if she's ready. And if not, she better get there. All right. Thanks, guys. Bye.
All right, so there it is. Meredith Miller going to have to heighten her heckle game. Already getting called out for
I know
for the heck for her heckling over the microphone. We'll see how that goes.
Well, so, my guess is she can sit back after all her years of racing. I'm sure she's heard them all. She can sit down, scratch out a list, and pretty much just roll with it for days.
Yes, well, hope so. Hope
and the thing with Meredith is the subtlety, especially when you're on the big mic there on the PA system, the subtlety of a good heckle is what it's all about.
Who threw that challenge out to her?
That was Katie Macarelli that we heard in that voicemail from Feedback Sports. And she'll also be on the women's panel at Patagonia. So.
Is Meredith Miller on the women's panel too?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. I was wondering if it was going to start with some immediate feedback heckling on the panel.
Oh, that could have been good.
I think you'll probably be in the audience heckling away.
Be careful, Katie Macarelli. You might have just started something because she's not on the panel. I bet she'll be there.
Yeah. So she, right. She'll give her 2 cents. We have to give right now our $2 and talk about the junior. Isn't that a good segue? Junior 17 to 18.
With that, I think because with that segue, looks like according to the USA Cycling race predictor, junior men predicted win Lane Meyer.
Yeah, so we're looking at the and you all can if you I know there were some questions on Twitter about if there were start lists out there. You can go to USA Cycling and find who's registered for every race. So that's more or less going to be your start list, and then they also have their race predictor. Also, another great place to go is go to crossresults.com, and Colin has his race predictor up there. It's always fun to, you know, the algorithms are close, but they are different, so it's always fun to see how Cross Results differs from USA Cycling. And then Colin also has some great articles on Cyclocross Magazine, sort of breaking down each race and how the numbers look and his predictions.
Yeah, he even gives some dark horse predictions in there as well, which I think is spot on.
Yeah. No, we'll go through the ones that he has out there now, but we won't spoil it all because there are still, I think just the opens are still the men's and women pro races still are not up. So that is something to look forward to. But yeah, let's get into it with this junior 17 to 18. I'll just tell you for USA Cycling, this is how they have it predicted. Winner, Lane Meyer, who we know well, him and his $2. Second place, Sam Noel. Third place, Benjamin Gomez. Say the last name for me, David.
Vigipani.
All right.
It's close.
Fourth place.
No, hold on. Go ahead.
Wait, go Scott.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
come on, Scott. It's a tough one. And who's to say if I'm right or not, but it was a long conversation. Vigipani.
Vigipani.
Probably wrong.
Okay, I got it. All right. Fourth place, Alex Morton. Fifth place, Gregory Gonzalez. Sixth, Calder Wood. What do you guys think about that? I'll start it off. I think that Vigipani is definitely. I would put him at least in second place, or maybe even him and Lane Meyer as fighting it out for first. That's how I see this going down.
Well, I think that one of the things we see with the USA Cycling race predictor is it's straight up points, right? It doesn't really take into account the race conditions, who races better in what we are expecting to see at Reno CX Nats. And I, for that reason, I would agree with you. If it were muddy, if it were cold, maybe that's going to hold him back a little bit, and maybe Lane gets a little bigger advantage there. But in quality points, which is how USA Cycling figures this stuff out, you got Lane Meyer has got 91.18, and Ben has 94.28, and then you got Sam Knoll in between those two with 91.22. So that is a thin margin there. You put in the race close to home for again, Ben is racing out of California. He's racing a little bit closer to home, and Sam and Lane are coming out of New England. That could also be an advantage. That home cooking helps.
Yeah, I mean, we could talk for an hour about the 17-18 men's if you guys let me go. Because you guys have been in a couple of races we've announced this year. This group in particular, 17-18, UCI, I think I announced 6 races total this year with just this group alone. And not one was a runaway race for anybody on this list. These races were always race pack style, coming through the line, 2, 3, 4 or more at a time. And so it's as close as it gets. If you look down the list, you guys said the names, Lane, Sam, Ben, Alex Morton, I'll throw in there, Greg Gonzalez, Collarwood, Scott Funston. If you throw them in there and look at their results, they're literally trading first, second, third, fourth, fifth place every single race with no clear winner number one. Now, I will say Ben Gomez, he is our current Pan Am champ. So he won that race in the 17, 18-year-old category down at the Pan Am Championships this year. So he came out on top. Coming into that weekend, though, Lane Maher had beat him every single time they matched up.
Yeah,
that's a tough one to bet against.
And didn't he beat him the next day as well? Didn't he win Harbin Park? Or no, who?
Can't. At Cincy, Lane Meyer won both days of Cincy, both days of Silver Goose.
Right.
He took a first and a second place at Major Taylor, won at the NBX as well. So he usually comes out on top. However, on a day that mattered, like the Pan Am Champions, he came in second place to Ben. Yep. Ben Gomez was on fire. Now, also, Ben Gomez, he's raced locally recently. Lane Maher's coming back from Europe in the last week or two. So he's been racing all the way through the December period.
That's the interesting thing that I just wonder, especially at this age level, it seems like this break may have the biggest effect on the younger age groups as opposed to, you know, our pros who have just been racing straight through. And granted, as you said, Lane was over in Europe racing, but it's like, it's pretty much a month off. So it's really tough to know what condition you're coming into. You know, you figure these guys started racing in August for cyclocross and we're now in January. I mean, it's tough to really know if you are good in September and October, if you're still going to be good. I mean, that goes up and down the line, but at least for these guys, especially they're moving over to road, they're working on base, they're doing, you know, they have other priorities at that age. So it's, I think that what really kind of makes this exciting and we've seen surprises in the past is just not knowing.
Yeah, top 10 on the race predictor for the 17-18 men. If you take the top 10, half of them are literally coming back from Europe after racing for the full months in the last week. The other half haven't been.
Yeah, and,
so and there's a blind study.
Yeah, well, and there's no way to really know, even with a double blind study, who if that's going to make somebody stronger going to Europe or if that's going to wipe them out.
That's right.
And how long were they there? I know Lane's last race was on the 26th at that Boxing Day race, the World Cup number 7. And in theory, you know, he's had a week and a half to recover back here in the States. But still, it's a lot of travel.
That's tough.
Yeah.
Should be a tight race. In my book, nobody's rolling away with this one.
Scott, what do we know about the, I think we should start at least. We got a couple factors here. One, we have some altitude that they're going to have to deal with. So that's going to be a factor for racers and will benefit those who are, trained for those conditions. And then what have you seen about the course itself as far as, what we're looking for topographically or anything else?
Yeah, they've been putting up some great stuff on Facebook and on Twitter as well. Kobe Rowe's been out there and they've been putting up some live videos. And then yesterday or this morning, Molly put up some things as well with a course preview. So you said it, 4,500 feet of altitude. That's pretty high. That's, you know, it's close to Denver altitude. So you are going to get some altitude. That's number one. Number two, it's raining and snowing there a little bit now. Now, I understand there's a lot of clay in the soil out there, so that will hold some of that moisture. That's kind of number one. Number two, it's on the downslope, so they say it will drain into that. It's going to be a little bit slippery, but there is some sand out there, some high mineral content, which should give some grip. But this is my opinion. In the interest of keeping it fresh and keeping it different, last year you got the snow frozen ruts, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're not, at least latest forecast, it's going to be 60 degrees and warm on Sunday. So you're not going to get that. And I know some people said, oh, it's not going to be muddy. It's not going to be snowy. Why are we doing it? And to me, it's great that it's not the same thing every year. It doesn't favor anybody's strengths. You're going to take out some of the things that you saw last year with the frozen ruts. You're going to get some fast racing, pack racing. There's an off camber on this course that is supposed to be absolutely dire to get into it and try and get out of it. I've heard many people saying it's going to be a full run down this off camber. We'll see if it tacks up or not, but they're saying clay on the hill, and that says to me lots of running.
Yeah. You bring up a great point too, and I think that USA Cycling in picking locations, we haven't seen similar courses, I think, in the past 5 or 6. I mean, you talk about going from like Madison, Austin, Colorado, Asheville, Hartford, Reno.
Yeah.
That's 6 different races. You know, there's really, you know, there are different skills. You know, some are more technical than others. Some are more power courses than others. You know, we got, along with Colorado, this is another altitude race. So, yeah, so I think it really is a good mix that isn't, you know, it's not like one certain kind of ride. You know, they always talk about like that for the Belgian Nationals. Oh, this course was built for Sven, or this course was built for Wout, you know, whatever. And that's always the argument that's going on. But I of course we're not building them for anybody. And I think it's been nice to see the varied terrain for the past, half decade at least.
Yeah, I do think it helps keep it interesting. You know, if it's always a climbing course, it's going to favor somebody. If it's always a flat course, it's going to favor somebody. I like it when it's a little bit mixed up. We didn't know a year ago, it snowed 4 or 5 inches, I think, on the same day that Hartford was going on. It was snowing in Reno. But again, this time it's raining, a little bit snow yesterday out there. But I think they said this morning, yes, it'll stick in some of that clay, but I wouldn't expect anything less than sort of tacky conditions, but I bet you're still going to see a little bit of mud.
Yeah.
So at least one creek crossing as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I saw that. Is it rideable?
Yeah.
Do we think it's rideable?
I don't know the answer to that.
All right.
All right.
Good course.
Yeah, let's move on to our 17 women's. This one's harder to see in the USA Cycling.
It's the U23 / U7 or 17-18.
Yeah, but they're all, well, let's just say for the 17-18, Katie Klaus from Alpha Bicycle in Park City, Utah, pretty much the hands down favorite, right?
Yeah.
For that.
Yeah.
Really,
she is the returning 15, 16 year old, 2-time cyclocross national champion.
Yeah.
So she's coming in as a former / current national champion.
And I think that the prediction, at least here, is that even though it's not her age group, she's fighting for the podium, which I don't think is an inaccurate prediction for the U23 race as well. So I think that as far as that 17-18 age group goes, it's going to be a tough uphill battle for anybody to catch Katie Klaus in that one.
Yeah, I would say, I probably refer to it a little too often as sort of the run up to this one. While it's a higher category event, the Pan American Championships back in Louisville was the first time we got to see this year a lot of sort of these up and comers, right? So the men's and women's elite classes, we sort of know the key players. We know how they're doing. But when you look at these younger riders, you know, the difference in physical build between a 15-year-old and an 18-year-old, man or woman, is incredible. And so we never know what they're going to do year over year. We've seen people fade spectacularly year over year, and we've seen them jump year over year. Katie Klaus, she raced the U23 at Pan Am Champs, bronze medalist. So to your point, right, in the overall podium, she is a top contender in the U23. I believe her racing age is 17 years old. Might be 16.
What do you think, Dave?
She is an impressive young lady. I had the honor, the privilege to see her racing at the Pan Am Championships. She knows what she's doing on a bike. And I think that we've long talked about the strength of the juniors racing and the U23 racing of men here in the U.S. We've long talked about the strength of women's racing here in the U.S. I don't know that we've given the attention to these junior women that they deserve. Katie Klaus is something to watch.
Yeah, David, you and I watched her race into a silver medal spot at the Major Taylor event in freezing temperatures. So again, racing up into the elite women, only Sunny Gilbert able to beat her there. She almost took her first elite win there. Again, 16, 17 years old.
And if I remember correctly, it was came down to that last straight, and who was going to disappear in those holes in the water. And I think that, you know, she had a legitimate shot at that race.
Yeah. She led that race quite a bit.
Yeah. Racing against Sunny D, and that's saying something. We call her Sunny D. Yeah, we know it's Sunny G. Sunny Gilbert had a great race sliding across Indy. We'll see a lot from her as well.
We shouldn't call her Sunny Dilbert.
Only at your own peril.
We should also mention, and I'm stealing Colin's thunder here with his predictions, but Petra Schmidtman and Turner Ramsey also fighting it out, or the top favorites for that women's 17 to 18 field. And, you know, they still got to line up there and race. So we've seen crazy stuff happen. And especially with the weather, with the course, you don't know what's going to happen mechanical wise or anything else. So.
Yeah, I believe Petra Schmidtman, I think she just pulled down a gold medal at the Colorado Cross Champs for her age group as well.
There you go.
So I think she's a newly minted state champion. And I'll just say it, to be the state champion in Colorado of any age group can't be that easy.
Yeah. You know, and she has beaten Katie Klaus in the past, beat her in Asheville. And then, so is she the one that in Austin where it was like, didn't know that they thought she had gotten pulled and ended up winning the national championship?
I can't confirm that, but that sounds right.
I can't remember
to me
either. But I believe that may have been her when it was just that crazy, crazy Sunday and Monday, or Monday of racing. Yeah.
All I know is that she does near Halloween drop off candy at the announcer's booth. So
well, right there, a vote in her favor.
One sure way to get a call out.
Yeah. Right. You got to bribe the announcers. That's a pro tip. You know, be nice to your announcers if you want to.
That's always the way to get it. Zerner, I believe she's aged up into the U23 this year, so I don't think she is coming in as the gold medal favorite from last year.
Yeah. Oh, Ashley Zerner. Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
Let's speak of that. Let's talk about the U23 women. Let's just jump over to them, and we'll head to the men after this.
I want to see if anybody says it. I'm not going to say what it is. Just go ahead.
Oh no.
Well,
it's her race to lose, right?
Yeah. You know, you have a world class ranked athlete in Emma White who's racing in the U23s, and not to say that others aren't as well. I mean, Ruby West has done incredible this year. A couple other names in there, Clara Horensinger, I know Hannah Arnsman's had a great year, Laura Rathburn. So there are definitely like big names in that U23, but man, it's tough to bet against Emma White in this race.
I would say it is, as you said, some of her sort of resume is she's the current U23 Pan Am champ, silver last year at Cyclocross National, silver next to Ellen Noble, who has aged out this year, so she'll move up. So Emma White, clearly the favorite, but I got to tell you, Clara Hansinger, she has her fans out there, and they're starting to win me over a little bit on the I'm not even going to call her a dark horse, just a favorite. She was second, silver medalist at the U23 Pan Am Champs. So she's right there, and she also has spent some time in Europe. So I'm not going to say it's done. Emma White knows this. She knows this isn't done. She won this one going away at Pan Am Champs, so she didn't have it. But Hansinger, and I think Colin mentions it in there, if Emma White found a straightaway and looked back, she saw that orange helmet of Clara Hansinger right behind her the entire time. She was right there with her.
Yeah, and it looks like, I mean, between the two of them, you know, the only person Hansinger has lost to is White in a, you know, matchups head to head. So, yeah, that's, and it again, it's the exact same thing we were talking about, you know, Emma White dominant throughout the year, looking at top 25 finishes when she's racing in the elites and World Cups. But, you know, that's sort of the interesting thing about having this later date is that you don't know. You don't know how people are coming into this. You know, we see it at all levels, and this is another one. All of that being said, as you said, Scott, it's kind of her race to lose.
Yeah, I'll throw in a couple more. Emma Swart's coming off a win in Major Taylor just about a month ago, so she's coming into form. And also, Emma Swart's very good. She's good all the way around. You don't get to this level without being it, so I'm not going to take that away from her. But she's good when it's wide open and fast. And so when she gets into pack racing, she can make her way to the front. So I'm watching Emma Swart's, absolutely. Hannah Arensman as well, coming off a win just last month down at the North Carolina races in the collegiate level. She came off a win, so watch out for her as well. Laura Rathbun has clearly made it open and known out there that she is racing for a win. And KK Santos, she calls this sort of her comeback year, and she's had solid results. Again, a second at Major Taylor just about a month ago, ninth at Pan Am's.
Did we lose them?
We lost Scott. He was on such a good roll, and we lost him right after the ninth at Pan Am's. But he's back now.
My back?
Yeah.
You're back.
Oh, good. Now you just missed me ranting on about Laurel and KK.
No, it's good.
Well, I would tell you, KK was going to be my dark horse in this one. You wear the Amy D Foundation kit, and it raises your game.
That's true.
All right.
If you talk about her on the Bike Shop CX, you give her a bump too, right?
The bump, right? Bump, Bike Shop, bike bump, shop CX. It's bump. Real.
That's right. Yeah, same thing. That's the exciting part about, again, 17-18 men and the 17-18 women and U23 women. I don't think this is going to be a walk-away race for anybody. I think this one's going to come down to last lap or sprints, which is exciting.
Yeah, can only sure. Hope so. You know, last thing I'll just throw in there about Emma White, you're talking about it being a wide open and possibly a power-type course. You know, this is also a woman who has a World Championship silver medal in the in the time trial, to her credit. So she's not afraid to put down the power as well and hold on to it.
Yeah, indeed. I agree.
All right.
So we get that covers the U23 women and I think the junior men, right? So where should we go next? You want to go to the elite men?
I think U23 men. Don't we need to do them?
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
I would do them too. Sure, why not?
This is a
crazy. This is kind of a packed field here. No,
I don't understand the race predictor on USA Cycling. Oh no, I'm just looking at the registration. Okay, I was all confused. Somebody else jump in there.
Order, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've got, I don't know if it's the exact order of what it is there now, but I've got it as Gage Heck, Spencer Petrov, Cooper Wilsey, Eric Brunner, Lance Haidt, Grant Elwood, Max Chance, Denzel Stevenson, somewhere around that order.
Yeah. Something like that. Brandon Fix thrown in there as well.
You know, gotcha.
It's just Michael Owens, Ross Elwood, Garrett Gerchard, Caleb Swartz. I mean, it's just Cameron Beard's even down there all the way to 18th. I mean, it's just insane how the future of American cyclocross in this field is pretty strong.
Yeah.
It's there's some fast dudes in here. You know, we go back to, you know, I mean, and Scott, you can talk about this more, really going back to that Pan Am race. And that was the one that we thought we were going to get this great showdown. Spencer Petrov looking really strong throughout the year, coming in, you know, even seeing him early on at Rochester, where you see that Aspire Rafa Focus kit up there, and you're like, oh, Powers is, wait, that's, nope, not Powers, that's Spencer, right. You know, right up there in the lead group and sort of hanging on to the guys in the pro elite field for most of the season, coming into Pan Ams and really the race he was looking to win, and you know, just bad luck from the first pedal stroke.
Yeah, and I'll say this. It's funny that we're talking about the U23 men, and we talk about Gage Heck and Spencer Petrov, who they have years left in this category. They're not like aging out of this one anytime soon, right?
Right. Yeah,
and
you know, even with I think it was when we saw Gage, was it Harbin Park with him in Hyde? Isn't that right? Am I getting the, or was,
I think I lost you, but you might be back.
I think so.
who knows if it's on my end. I don't know. Sorry.
Not
exactly sure what you said.
I was talking about Gage Hecht. Who was he racing? Was it him and Hyde, right? Who were going after each other in Harbin?
At Harbin. Yes. Hecht, he had a really strong race there where he was going all the way through to the end. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. And it was just, we were making the point during that race how, you know, it was turning into this sort of wide open road race type tactics. And how, if you look at those two racers, you have your current national champion and Stephen Hyde, and you have Gage Hecht there, who's this U23 racer. If you look at their results on the road, Gage also, raced many more years on the road than Stephen Hyde has, you know,
that's right.
Even though he's much younger. So it's like these guys are coming in with such experience racing their bikes that it's going to be I think this may be one of the most exciting, if not the most exciting race of the week.
Yeah, I think you're right. Gage Hecht, as you mentioned, current U23 Pan Am champion. He was a silver medalist in the U23 last year. And if you remember, if you go dial it back last year, the U23 men's race was one of the most exciting and most unpredictable races. I think going into the last lap, it finished completely different than it went into the last lap. Now, Hecht was doing a little battling back there. I believe it was with Brandon Fix. I think he was in the mix. Max Chance. He was battling with Max Chance a little bit. And then Lance Hayden sort of came from third place and won that race in the final lap. So some people would argue that that was Gage Hecht's race, and he could have, should have, would have won. But you
know, who had the mechanical racing, in that race? Right? Didn't somebody have like the last second mechanical?
It was Max Chance, wasn't it?
Yeah, oh, Max okay, Chance. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, and he just barely finished in the bronze medalist, but he was leading up until that point for some period.
Yeah, yeah. No, that
it'll be interesting to see how that goes. Gage Hecht right there. Spencer Petrov, you started to talk about him, and you started to talk about the Pan Am champ snapping the chain on the line. I think we've all seen the videos. We were there in person watching it. You know, heart went out for that kid. He had prepped for that race. That was clearly a target for him. If you could say emotion will win you races, he's going to win this Sunday, no doubt. But that's not everything that wins races, right? But
right.
I'm sure, and again, if everybody watched his social media, you can see he has been practicing and practicing some more with Jeremy and Ellen down in New Mexico or Arizona.
Yeah. New Mexico, yeah.
He's going to come, I hate to use the term, he's going to come with a belly full of anger on this one, and there's no other way to put it. He wants redemption. He wants to cap this season off with something like that. Petrov is going to come out as fast as possible on this one, and that will be a scary sight to see.
Yeah. I think for sure, and it'll be interesting to see the beginning part of that race, what the course has laid out for them. But that, as you say, Scott, I think that is going to be a very, very fast start with these youngsters, with Gage Hecht, the speed that he has at the start, and Spencer Petrov. It's going to be a very, very quick hole shot, and anyone that has a chance of winning that race is got to get on a wheel there and try to stay with as long as they can.
Talking
about top three, Cooper Wilsey. So that's top three in the race predictor. He's bronze at Pan Am Champs. He was seventh last year at Nationals. But if I look at who raced in the last World Cup race over Nemours, Gage Hecht, Cooper Wilsey, Spencer Petrov. So these three guys all have been over in Europe together, racing against each other, having good results over there. They're all three coming back to race nationals. And to your point before, who wasn't over there? Eric Brunner picked to finish fourth. He was a silver medalist at the Pan Am Champs. Lance Hayden is the U23 national champion from last year. He's coming back to race. Grant Elwood's right there. Max Chance, we just said, bronze medalist last year. Could have won it last year as well. Denzel Stevenson will be in there. He's your returning junior national champ from last year, moving up into the U23 men. And then Brandon Fix, right there in top. I think he might have finished fourth last year at the national championships. He's right there as well. So, again, I know it sounds like you're trying to build drama, but the drama's building itself. Is this is not a giveaway race for anybody. Nobody is. I can't say that anyone's going to walk away from this one either.
No, this is going to be a battle, which is great to see. And it's always such a dynamic and fun race to watch. I mean, look back at some of the battles we had in the past, the Curtis White and Logan Owen fights from the past. Yeah. The U23 men, it's always a great place to just watch where that upcoming talent is going to be. And yeah, you mentioned all the names. It's really interesting. Big contingent from Boulder, and I think those, as you mentioned, were the men who did not go to Europe yet were still racing at altitude in Colorado throughout this last month. So it's going to be this one, I think, is going to be a really good shakeout of, if we can tell anything, David, from is it better to go to Europe or train at home, this may be the race that we see the benefits of that.
Yeah, and the other thing that we see here is those top three, four guys that were in Europe together, they know how each other races.
Good point.
Right? They know where to try to take advantage of one another. Who's going to be the guy that may slip a little bit on an off camber? Who may not turn as quick? When to push and when to sit on a wheel? That also will play in, I believe, in this race.
I mean, I'm going to be incorrect here. But so Gage Hecht is a 6-time junior national champion. That much I do know. Probably all six of those, he was racing against Spencer Petrov. They have raced together forever, for as long as they've been racing.
Yeah, that's why I look at that as that Logan Owen Curtis White, you know, matchup that we saw for years before that, you know, starting from when they were 11, 12 years old.
So they know they're just like all of us that race cyclocross, right? And that is, if you race with someone long enough, you know, are they a fast starter or a fast finisher? And what do I need to do? Are they a good descender or a good corner? What do I need to do? They know that about each other, and that's just it. They got to exploit those weaknesses and play to their strengths on a course like this. Like I said, it's going to be a fast race. There's no way around that. It's going to be a fast race. It's not going to be a deep mud. It's not going to be a deep frozen ruts. Nothing like that. This one's going to be a fast one, and it's going to require power and a lot of technical strength as well. And I can't say that favors either one of them. I've watched them and called races for years with them, and it's spectacular because they just go at it.
All right. Should we
go? I've got to throw one last thing before we move away from this category. We got a guy out there. He's listed on your start sheet as Frederick Young. His name's Sam Young, racing out of Michigan, base media racing team out of Ann Arbor, Michigan. This is his first season of racing cyclocross.
Nice.
I'd really like to see him finish close to the lead lap. I don't know that he will, but and I know you called a race of his down. He was down at the racing in Louisville. This kid is something to watch for the future. I mean, he's not going to be out there contending, I don't think, anytime soon with the top of the sport. But a big shout out to Sam Young for his development over the year to be, and he's even ranked somewhere up there in the top 30 of the race predictor. So,
well, hey,
just to throw that out
race
there
on the national level, this is the way to do it. So kudos to him for making the trip.
Yeah, that's great.
For sure.
All right. Michigan cyclocross. It's the future.
That's what it's all about. You know that Helen Wyman is going to be coming out and racing in Michigan next season.
That's what I see.
You got some fat bike races lined up for her?
No, he wants her to come race at the fort that was built to keep the British out of America. Is that it?
That's it, man. Isn't that fitting?
It is. I love it.
I mean, with Brexit and this wall that other people want to build to keep people out, this is our way of showing unity. Helen Wyman, come race at Matt Anthony. We'd be happy to have you.
I thought this was the wall that the Canadians had us build for them to keep the Americans out of Canada.
Yes, indeed.
I'm just saying that. So this went down on Twitter. I'm just saying, I'll say it right now, Mr. David Palin. She didn't say no.
No, she didn't. And I'm just going to throw it out here. I'll throw it out here now. And I know that, you know, JB Hancock is going to be all over me because he really wants her to come race at Alma, which is a good race. They have a really good announcing stand and some good announcers there. But as you all remember from Bike Shop show days, Helen Wyman was one of our first guests on the show when we invited her to come race at Matt Anthony back then. She even said, I would consider that. So it's pretty much a sure thing.
You just need to start Fraser Bikes needs to start stocking Kind Human bikes, and then you can put some pressure on her.
That's true. They make nice bikes too.
All right,
which brings us to yes. Go ahead.
I was going to say the women. Let's do the women elite.
Elite women,
indeed.
Yep.
And this is the one. This is the one that's just crazy when you look at the USA Cycling race predictor.
I'll just throw it out there. What Bill Chaiken is referring to is in 36th place, according to the race predictor.
Yeah.
Some woman out of Colorado Springs, Colorado, by the name of Catherine Compton.
Yeah.
And she even raced before?
Yeah, Katie Compton. So no pressure on Carolyn Nolan and Ann Usher, but you all are predicted to beat Katie Compton in this race at 34th and 35th. So, you know, You have to look at that as you don't want to finish lower than your prediction. So, you know, no pressure that you have Katie Compton.
Please don't tell
you.
Me that this is the same as the call-ups, is it?
I don't think it has to be, does it? Because
it's
got to be by UCI.
No, right? This won't be the call-ups. But, you know, that being said, and we do joke about Katie Compton and, you know, unbeaten at the national championships, so looking for what, number 14? Is that
14,
what this would be?
Yeah, that's
number
right.
14. That and having a great year. It is just a statistical anomaly that she's not either first or second predicted on this, as David was explaining before. It just comes down to the numbers, and it really comes down to who you're racing against in the U.S. She spent the whole season in Europe doing things like winning the Dave Ave. So not available to race at home and get those points for the predictor. But, you know, that doesn't have anything to do with staging.
No.
On the top of that list, Katie Keogh, who also not too bad on the European scene, currently ranked second in the world.
Yeah.
Not
well deserved on top of that one. That's right.
So,
I mean, she came into the season looking like a whole different racer. Not that she didn't look like a great racer last season and previous seasons during her Marion days, but she just looked totally different and possessed. And I saw her racing, the first time I saw her racing in person this year was in Waterloo. And man, she just has this look about her. She is all in.
Yeah. And I think that she is going to give Katie Compton a run for her money. However, speaking of money, you shouldn't bet any against Katie Compton, because if you had any time in the last decade and a half, you're losing. Second, even with being sick, even with having issues with asthma, the European season that she wasn't even pleased with half of her European season, but the races that she was in and the races that she excelled out, she looked stronger than I think we've seen her in a long time, if not ever, at certain times. I mean, it's really, really fun to watch her race year after year and still be able to put out these performances. I mean, just really kicking ass right now. And I think it's going to be Katie Keogh, you know, and even Ellen Noble and Crystal Anthony and Courtney McFadden and the other on the top of that list definitely have a shot. But man, it's a tough one to bet against Katie Compton in this.
We
race.
Did handicap her this year. By the way, I guess there's two pieces to that, right? That we did handicap her. We are putting Scott Diedenbach in her pit.
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
So, okay. No pressure on you, Scotty D. but we also gave her, not only did she get the bike shop bump, but now she has the wide angle podium bump.
Yeah, that's true. We are
being a sponsored athlete, a wide angle podium.
I didn't sound too much like a homer, did I, Scott?
Well, what?
All right, Scott, now, make the argument for me for Katie Keo.
I will. I'll do a couple things. So first of all, I'm going to set my biases aside. Close friend of Katie Compton. I'm going to set that aside because that doesn't bear into this conversation. There are two things I'll say about Katie Compton. One, if you saw the movie Wonder Woman, I'm pretty sure you saw the story about where Katie Compton came from. So she's got that going for her, right? she's a superhuman. I mean, she's won over 125 UCI races, 22 plus World Cup wins. She's the first American ever to win the Dave Ave Trophy Series that you just talked about. So to your point, it's hard to bet against her. However, Katie Compton's a human being. You guys have watched races this year where she's shown up, not felt good, had asthma attacks, and pulled out of the bike race. So there's the wild card to throw in there. I'm knocking on wood for her and me. I hate to even talk about it, but she is still part human, right? And it's going to be, she's got to come with her game on, her head up and ready to go. Because Katie Keo, as you said, Katie Keo, Ellen Noble, I will say it, is a very fast starter, always is. She puts everybody on notice right from the beginning of every single bike race. So you got Ellen Noble there. It's going to start fast. No way around it. Katie Keo is going to match that. Katie Compton's going to be right there with her. But Pan Am Champs, again, I'm going to go back to that. I said it before, is that's our most recent high-level race that the two of them or the three of them have raced together. And Katie Keo was there until the final lap, until she made a bobble or an accident or had an accident where Katie Compton was able to ride away. Keo was there. And so every year we say, every single year, for at least the last 3 years, we say, is this a year that Katie upsets Katie? And I will say every year that gets closer, I don't personally believe that we're crossing that line this year, barring incident or accident or health. Katie Compton, however she does it, her superpowers are always there, but they seem to show up on the big days. Most importantly, the days that really matter, not that they don't. It's hard to unseat Katie Compton. If someone's going to do it, Katie Keto's probably the person to do it.
This year, she really seems to have gotten her health dialed, whether it's diet.
I agree with that 100%.
Whatever it is. And diet, don't get me wrong, everyone out there with body issues and all this other stuff, she's not trying to lose weight. She's had issues with food and allergies and those kind of diet choices. She has really seemed to get herself dialed this year, such that she did have a couple of races where she had asthma or whatever issues, but much fewer and further between than in the past. If you're Katie Keo, not that Katie Keo's going to worry, but you know, that's not a great sign. That's really strength towards Ms. Compton.
Like I said. And even you know, you mentioned Ellen Noble. She's up there as well. Has had a amazing year. First year in Elise, was on a podium of a World Cup race. You know, just so many milestones for her, coming off of a silver medal in the World Championship last season. So, you know, definitely one. And this is first year for her in the elite championship race. So, you know, and already up there at the top, already looked at as a favorite. So Ellen Noble, definitely to keep your eyes on. Crystal Anthony, Courtney McFadden, two that are always up there near the front, always looking for podium spots. I think Rebecca Farringer is someone for this course. You know, Scott, you were talking about it being a power course, about one where there's a lot of pedaling. That's where Farringer excels. So maybe she's going to be the dark horse in this and be able to fight it out with those leaders in this race.
Yeah, you know, looking again, top 10 or so, who's been in Europe and who hasn't. Crystal Anthony, not making the trip over to Europe that I'm aware of. She has stayed home. Courtney McFadden, not making the trip over to Europe. So both of them coming off a little bit of, well, you could say fresh legs, and you could also say not racing legs. That's, you know, big toss up. Arlie Kemmerer, not over in Europe as well. Sonny Gilbert was over in Europe. So it's a little bit of a mixed bag from the top there. But, you know, I will say it, Bill, I can't make the counter argument. This is Katie Compton's race.
Yeah.
She
should
win this race. There isn't any reason for me to say that she won't, barring, again, knocking on wood, if you're superstitious, barring some incident. We're going to look at it just like it is. Katie Compton, Katie Keough. The big toss-up for me will be third place. Ellen Noble has spectacular starts and great finishes as well. My question is, she's going to hit that podium. I'm not going to go on record and say which spot on that podium she's going to be on, because it could be any of them.
This from 1 to 10 is one of the is probably the race that I'm most excited about, just because, you know, we're talking about that podium and we don't know who's going to who has a chance for it. I mean, so many opportunities to get on that podium, but I think it's going to be tight all the way down to 10th and 11th. You know, you talked about Sonny Gilbert, who had a great races like in Iowa early on, winning a UCI race out there. Arlie Kemmerer, always strong and just can just sit on that power and sit on wheels and is such a smart racer. Cassie Maximenko, Lily Williams, great year for her. I mean, wonderful. Just I think this might be her first year close to it racing cyclocross and ending up on podiums. Just insane how strong she is. Amanda Nauman, friend of the show, you know, tough luck for her coming in early in the season with her broken toe. And you see her on social media really ramping it up, really working hard, racing in California the last couple of weeks. So maybe she's one who's, you know, peaking now after not having the best start to the season. And just it's Sammy Runnels, you know, winning races late in the season, going over to Japan and winning races over there. I mean, you can just up and down this women's field, just really, really exciting racers. And I think this is definitely one that I'm going to be looking forward to not only covering, but then going back and watching the web stream later to see how it all unfolded.
So I'm going to throw one name out there that you jumped over, Bill, and I want to hear what Scott has to say about Jen Malik. You knew I was coming back to you on that one.
I was saving the Ohio Valley people for Scott.
she's our only, and if she listens, she's going to love this. She's our only PhD biomechanical NASA rocket scientist engineer person. I don't know. She's a big brain. I always make jokes.
Too, though,
she? What's that?
Isn't Sonny Gilbert up there too with the PhD area? You know, that's something that's very interesting, and Rebecca Farringer, for that matter. And we always talk about this on this show, and we talk about it on Bike Shop CX as well. The women's racing, when you look at GPA and years of completed education, it's amazing.
Yeah, it is.
Another name that I got to throw in, again, we talked about it real briefly, but someone that has really turned up her game this year, Crystal Anthony. He's always been racing kind of really well as an elite, but becoming into this third, and that's where she belongs in the top five here. Her game was real strong this year. She had a couple of podiums. I think she won a couple earlier in the season. She seems to have really got a lot of things dialed in with her move to the West Coast, perhaps, whatever it is. Crystal Anthony is a name to keep in mind for this year.
Yeah, as Kerry Werner is to the elite men, Crystal Anthony is to the elite women in my book. And that is, Kerry Werner's a Mr. Consistency Award, right? He's always lurking right there, always a chance to hit the top step of the podium. And Crystal Anthony, to me, just in the shadows out there of some of the names that we've talked about, but always turning in consistent results. I mean, she's picked at fourth place, and that's legitimate because she is a strong, super consistent racer. I agree with that.
Yeah.
I will say Amanda Nauman. So we talk about this all the time. We say, oh, you know, everybody picks up their bags and they fly to Europe and they go race over there and they have a hard time racing and adjusting the time zones and things like that. Well, Amanda Nauman, that's how she spends her entire season, flying to the East Coast to race. So now she gets to race it might be in the same time zone. I think it is in the same time zone, isn't it?
I think it's like a 4-hour drive for her.
Yeah. So we're actually getting to see her race in her time zone and in her sort of environment. Amanda Nauman, I would expect to see her come out big, and we didn't talk about her top three. She could be or top five for sure.
We do have a viewer mail question that kind of touches on the top, and it'll sort of segue us into the men's race as well. This is from Scott's Row on Twitter. he wants to talk about altitude, and since Powers and most of his crew have been at altitude for what seems like at least a month based on social media, will the acclimation overcome Hyde's altitude week with his new bromance with Wout Van Aert? and then that sort of, just to finish up on our conversation that we're having now, he also talks about climbing, hearing that the course may have more steep climbing than people could see from those early videos.
Yeah,
if that's correct,
the same.
Yeah, does it help Katie Keogh enough to overcome what we have to assume is Compton's otherwise significant advantage? Likewise, doesn't Hyde climb significantly better than many of the others?
I'll answer the Compton one with, yeah. Did you watch Koppenberg cross? I don't think she has too much of a problem climbing.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I mean, with a mountain biking.
It's also, you're not going to get, I think for racers like that, it's, if you have a 5-minute climb, that's one thing. But yeah. If you just have these power climbs, I think that's the type of thing that Compton excels on. And then, you know, if you go up, you got to go down, and we all know she does that, you know, with her handling skills, that she's just able to just let it go and rip it.
Yeah, and on Molly's Instagram, when they talked about the course, that was the one thing I picked up, having not been boots on the ground myself. More elevation than it seems like it is, so there's both false flats and some sharp climbs as well.
Yeah, that's always, you know, it's always the case, isn't it? I mean, we even looked at, you know, we knew that there was going to be the off camber in Hartford until you saw it in person. And you were like, oh, yeah, that's an off camber. You know, the same right. with Asheville. If you just saw like the GoPro video when we were in Asheville, you're like, oh, it's not that much climbing. And then you go to the actual race and you're like, whoa, that's a that's a lot of elevation.
Define climbing, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, let's move on to the men. Let's finish this off.
Oh, wait. So yes. I think the other question was about elevation, right?
Yeah.
So here's my take on the elevation. And I'm no Jen Malik. I'm not a biomechanical engineer. She probably knows. Maybe she doesn't.
She should.
When Nationals was in Colorado is a big discussion. And I feel like it's just like everything else. If you ask four different physicists. I don't know who does these things. Smart people, smarter than me. Four of them, what's the best way to tackle altitude? They will give you four different answers. I don't think there's a right answer on how to train for a race at altitude. I've heard anything from, if you don't get there 3 weeks ahead of time, then you're in trouble, or don't go until the day before
right.
the day of.
If you can't be there for a month, show up the day of, basically. Yeah.
All my short point was, with altitude, we arrive 3 weeks ahead of time, or we arrive day of. I don't know that any scientist has been able to prove one way or the other. So it's good to stack the odds in your favor, and I think it's good to do the altitude training. But I'm not going to say you're going to win or lose a bike race because you did or didn't go to altitude at the right time, right?
Yeah. You know, I think if you're talking about a 3-week tour or 1-week tour, 3 days of racing, that's all one thing. But you're looking at an hour race here. Not that it isn't going to hurt. Not that you're not going to empty it out. But
there's a lot of opinions out there, but I don't know what the answer is.
I think there's a lot of emotion that goes into the race.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I feel like when it was Boulder, because that was higher elevation, this was a much bigger story. And we had many more folks heading out to Colorado early and making sure they were there, or in New Mexico or Arizona or wherever else, and just training at altitude for a couple of weeks beforehand. It didn't seem like there was that same urgency for Reno. So, you know, maybe that 1,000 feet lower or whatever it is
maybe that's different.
Yeah.
I don't know. I go to Salt Lake City fairly frequently for work, and that's, I think it's between 4,200 and 4,600 feet of elevation. And I will tell you, the days that I'm there, I'm out of breath walking upstairs, and I'm not usually. There has to be some altitude difference. The question that I always have is, so what does that mean for people? How early do you arrive? Does it really? I don't know the answer to those things. How long does it take you to get acclimated? I don't know the answer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that part of the reason, I think part of the reason why we haven't heard so much about it is everyone knows Boulder is very high.
Yeah.
Reno, I think people think Reno, Nevada, Las Vegas, right? Everyone, I know when they first announced that Cyclocross Nationals was going to be in Reno, there's all this talk of, oh, we're going to do it in a hot desert.
That's right.
Right? So I don't know that it's that people are knowingly dismissing the difference of 1,000 feet, or if it's that they just it doesn't get as much play because Reno doesn't have that reputation, shall we say, for height.
Yeah, somebody asked me. They're like, "Isn't that isn't the elevation there actually below sea level?" I'm not kidding. No, they call it the high desert, I believe. So.
All right, let's talk about some. So we answered the question, I think. Yeah, let's talk about this men's elite race. Starting from the top. You know, the man to beat, Stephen Hyde, defending national champion. Another strong year for him this year, but I think this was an exciting year in the men's field because we weren't really sure who was going to win from week to week. I mean, I think at times Hyde definitely was the strongest and showed that to be the case, but you know, didn't have the strongest start to the season. We saw, you know, guys like Tobin Ortenblad, somebody who, you know, will be the first one to tell you that he's kind of the forgotten man in this field, or was until this year. And, you know, even though he's been up there in the past, this was the year where he's winning consistently and people are looking at him as a favorite every week. He's, I think that he had a really strong start to the season, sort of, faded a little there in the middle just because you can't hold that form forever, but my guess is that Tobin's going to come into this super strong and give Hyde a run for his money in this race.
David, you go first on this one.
I get two minds on this one. I think you're going to see Kerry Warner play a really strong role in this race. Whether or not he wins it, he will dictate pace at this race for a chunk of it. And there's some guy by the name of Jeremy Powers coming out of Southampton, Massachusetts, who's got a bone to pick, I think. He hasn't had the best season this year, but he has put a lot of time developing and getting ready to peak for this weekend. I think Jeremy Powers should not be written off. He's on the race predictor. He's fifth. I think he's going to race better than that. And of course, the movie director in me would love to see some guy by the name of Jonathan Page win one going away as he goes away from his pro career. Just have to bring him up for everything that he's done for cyclocross racing here in the U.S. Jonathan Page, thank you. And one of the nicer guys in cyclocross racing here in the U.S. The Canadian Tyler Cloutier should have an okay race. I don't know why we're allowing the Canadians here.
I know. He must have dual citizenship.
As does the Norwegian Bjorn Selander racing out of Wisconsin, too.
Wait, are they on the start sheet?
They are. Bjorn Selander is an American, as is Tyler Cloutier. Yeah. But, yeah, we'd like to give them a hard time, as our viewers know.
Yeah. Yeah, looking at the list, Stephen Hyde, I would say it's his race to lose, as it's been put out there already on Twitter and a couple things, like who else could possibly beat him? I think there's an easy answer to that. There are several people that could beat him very easily. We talked about Kerry Warner, and I don't know if it's me or if I picked it up from someone else, calls him Mr. Consistency because of the way that he can race. Kerry Warner, you know, he's a bronze medalist from last year at Cyclocross Nationals. Don't forget that. Like, he's there. And he peaks at the end of the year, and he gets stronger as the year goes on. Stephen Hyde, I don't need to go over who he is and what he's done. He's won a ton this year. He's been racing over in Europe very well with some chain breaks. I was going to say some breaks. We'll call them chain breaks. But I'm gonna say it. Tobin Ortenblad is coming to upset the apple cart on this one. If you go back to the beginning of the season, and Bill, you alluded to this, he won in Gloucester twice, Charm City, KMC, Central Coast, Red Kite Crit, Burlingame. I mean, he's racing and winning in crits and cyclocross. Came out in the U.S. Open, or the new series this year, the U.S. Cup CX series. Came out, you know, guns a-blazing, and was winning that all the way up until the final weekend or two when he was a little off. But he's taken his rest He won a cross race just last week, sort of a local cross race. He was second place to Stephen Hyde, not a close one at the Pan Am Champs. But I'm going to say the same thing for Nauman. He's got a little bit of that. I'm from around here. I understand the racing in here. I don't have to travel, you know, very far. He's still traveling to get to this race. And he was quick on Twitter to chime in when someone said, I'm not really sure if anyone can beat Stephen Hyde. Orton Blad, he races with a lot of emotion, and I think he's coming to play spoiler this year.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, and it's interesting that he was the one to pipe in, because that's kind of what we like about him, you know. I mean, he's not afraid to stick his nose in, and he has confidence in himself, you know, and he wants to be thought of as a favorite, and I think takes it as a bit of a slight when people are overlooking him. So that's, you know, it was interesting. I had this conversation with Mark Gullickson asking if cyclocross has gotten nicer since he raced.
I heard that. Yeah.
Yeah. And he
said it has, right?
Yeah. And you know, and I think that we want these rivalries. We want people to be fight hard against each other during these races. That's what makes it fun and exciting.
That's perfect. Correct me if I'm wrong. So the next person on the list, Curtis White. Didn't Curtis and Tobin have a little elbow action going on last year? Not in the final race, but in another one?
Yeah. Yeah. And and Curtis is another guy who I was not satisfied with the start of his season. Right. I think it was even at Cincy on the first day that I was talking to him. And, you know, I think he may have finished either on the podium or right off. He might have gotten fourth. And he was like, I was like, well, are you satisfied? That was like, no, but it's going in the right direction. So, you know, he's another one who especially is a guy who races a big road season. So he's ramping up now, you know, he's definitely not going down. He's going up. So he's one to watch as well. I think that Powers is, I think you're absolutely right, David. He is down there, training in the, Southwest, at elevation and really, I think almost keeping his head a little low, just kind of lurking and wants to come in there as the guy that maybe everybody isn't watching as closely after you know less than stellar results throughout the season. And it might be a surprise from him. You know, we also have guys like Kissebirth in right under Powers and six on the predictor, who's always a threat. Justin Lundin's always there. We can't forget about Jamie Driscoll. Driscoll's a guy almost where Tobin Ortonblad is now, who can would win the Pro CX, you know, and still would be forgotten when it was guys like Powers and even, you know, back when with Tim Johnson and that whole thing where he was always a forgotten guy. He's still there. And he's going to be a threat. Tristan Cowie, another North Carolina guy, along with Werner. It's going to be, this is another one that I think you're going to have possibly a bit of a peloton here into the first half, three quarters of the race. This one may not be a runaway.
Yeah, I love the Jeremy Powers. Like, you watch some of these things he's putting out on social media. He is just smiling from ear to ear and keeping his mouth shut, because he's going to come and put some hurt on some people there. I think he's going to let his calves do the talking. Right. I think in this year's this race. You mentioned Jamie Driscoll. You can't forget he was silver medalist last year at Cyclocross Nats. He can ride a bike. Hey, Mr. David Palin, he's also the single-speed fat bike national champion from last year.
I was going to mention that. I was going to bring this full circle. See, you don't think I have a plan, but I was bringing this full circle back to where we started with fat bike Nats. I just did check the start list, and he's not listed currently.
That doesn't mean anything.
Still time for him to get on there.
Yep, still time.
Right.
Yeah, you mentioned the one thing I wanted to say, two more things. One thing is, Jack Kissebirth, as you mentioned, you know, he was on my radar last year, I'd say, but not as much as he was after Cyclocross Nationals, taken fourth place last year. I'm not going to say came out of nowhere, but I would say put in a surprising and a very honorable ride there. So who knows where he's going to finish this time, but that's one to watch. And then to go back to Mr. David Pound, the Jonathan Page final appearance. He's made it well known. He is retiring, four-time national champ. He's still, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, the only male cyclocross racer to ever stand on the world championship podium. Is that right?
The silver medal, I believe.
I think that's right. Yeah. I think he's the only one. And, you know, you can't look back and, you know, he was the national cyclocross champ in the early 2000s, but then he came back in 2013 or 2014, I believe, 2013, and won it. So, you know, yeah, who knows what he can do. I don't know that that's his, I don't know that he's looking to win it this year, but he's definitely going to go out on a high note. And what a champion's champion that guy is.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Awesome. I think we did it,
all
guys.
Right, then.
Zud,
how about that, gentlemen? We thought we'd have 10 minutes of talking, and we've done it.
Come on.
Nah. I'm actually, you know, we're at an hour 15, you know, and I'm sort of surprised that we're getting out on this. I like this. You know, without Diedenbach just rambling on and on and on, we can get in and out.
Those laughter breaks.
You guys didn't ask me any other thoughts now. I got 20 minutes. Ready?
Yeah.
All right.
Just kidding. I'm just kidding. No, I am excited to go out to Reno and see all of you, obviously. See the race course. Like I said, I'm glad that it's in a different spot than it is each year. I know it's kind of a pain for some of the people to driving. I looked up some stat once, like about population density or something, and it's something like east of the Mississippi, there are twice as many people as there are west of the Mississippi River, something like that. And so it's a little bit harder for people to get out there. But what that tells me is a lot of the, you know, the champions show up, and I'm sure there's going to be great racing all week long. Like you said, the collegiate nationals are out there as well. Those are always exciting.
Single speed, biggest races of the of the week.
That's true. And it should be, you know, we'll get a look at Reno. It's not the first time they've had a cyclocross race there, but we'll get a look at them because in September we'll be back out there for Cross Reno, right?
That's right.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
I had to take a sabbatical year this year from Cross Vegas, but I'm looking forward to going back to be at Cross Reno this year.
All right.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. This is always, you know, the week that we all look forward to. And you're right, Scott. It's also, you know, there's many in the photographer scrum that I haven't seen for months. So it's always good to get back with those folks and see them and see everybody. And it's a good cyclocross party. Plus, this is the setup. This week is the setup to see who can pull off the double. Right?
You're right.
That's true.
Two 2018 championships.
Yeah.
Right?
How many double 2018 champions are we going to have? This is the exciting part one of the two-part 2018 championship season, since Cyclocross Nationals will be in December again in 11 months.
What I love about this gives us the opportunity in 10 years to have trivial questions around, like, who was the winner of the cyclocross national champion in, I don't know, 2017. And they'll go, well, there was one, but there was two the next year, right?
Yeah.
Well, there was another year. This has happened before, right?
Right. It's you look at Katie Compton, you know, it's that, you know, you look at Katie Compton's wins, you're like, oh, she didn't win. I forget which year it was. And you're like,
one year, right?
Yeah, wait, no, they skipped that year because that's when they moved from December to January the first time. They didn't skip
right.
It was just, yeah. So. We're making up for it now. I forget what year, because this was always like, this was going to be the, whatever that was, the 2005 or whatever championship. That's what I want to call this one.
That's right.
Just to fill in that
blank. I've had the opportunity to call races with Mr. David Pallant. I've never had the opportunity to call races with you,
yeah.
Mr. Bill Chaiken. However, you announced it already, right?
Yes.
It's me and you in December, right?
That's it. We'll be there in Louisville.
6 days. I can't wait to ask you on day 5.5 what you still think about me.
You know what I am looking forward to, because you've done races of this size before. I haven't done one where I actually get to be up on a separate stage announcing a race, and I'm going to look forward to nobody asking you for registration.
No. See, you've already gone wrong. Just go ahead and bring your not registration sign.
Yeah.
Set it on the side of the stage there.
And they will ask you where they finished.
I've tried myself on being able to answer questions and call a race at the same time.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, you are.
We're
you
good.
Are
the, just put me on the outside.
Yep. You are the info table. Awesome. Well, Scott, again, thank you so much for stepping in and giving us your predictions on what's going to happen over the weekend. And we'll be listening for you if we're not at Reno CX Nats, at least, as I said, you'll hear him on the broadcast in the background. Given the rundown of the race.
That's right.
It's kind of like watching the DVV series from Trek and hearing the announcer in the background.
In the background? I love that.
Yeah.
Wait, so where is the... are you guys both there Sunday night? Where's the after party?
I have a red-eye flight out, so I will be there. No. Usually I end up like leaving midway through the racing on Sunday, but I will be there, and I'm sure by then... Scotty D and St. Sean will have kicked me out of the hotel. So I'll be looking for you. I'll be looking for that after party and bring the booties.
With 60 degrees, I think it's going to be a Vans kind of day.
All right. Is it really going to be 60?
I think that was the last time I saw the weather report.
Wow. All right.
I'm bringing the Vans, Bill. I'm counting on you.
I'll see what I can do. I still haven't packed.
I'm bringing my hat, Bill.
Well, I was just going to say that now that the letdown of the hat has been let
out. The hat definitely can't make it. That's definitely,
See, you're so tall that you can't sit on the plane with your hat on.
No, I have to put, I already have to get on the plane early so I can have my camera bag plus my backpack in the overhead and, you know, upset the people on the full flight who don't have any room to put anything. I can't take up that extra space for a hat as well.
You don't have any layovers in Los Angeles, do you?
No, Denver. And I will say that my after party will be taking place in front of my computer editing video. That's usually where those after parties happen for me.
All right. Yeah. Well, I was worried you were going to stop in L.A. because there's a lookalike in Los Angeles running around.
Uh-oh. Really?
I did tweet about that at some point.
Oh, I did see that. Yeah. I got that. Yeah.
Keanu Reeves. You and Keanu Reeves looking pretty similar these days. That's meant as a compliment, by the way.
I'm still looking for that speed money. All right, guys.
All right. I think there's an official after party. I don't know where it is.
I don't either. I'm sure there is as well. We'll ask Kobe. I'm sure he'll be happy to attend that after he's put on this event. Scott Herman, if people really wanted to follow you on social media, if you want to share that, where should they go?
Oh, dear Lord.
If not, where else should they go? Because... Tell them something fun to follow.
Something fun to follow about me?
No, just in general, or your own social media, whatever you want to do.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Well, I will. there are two things. You can find me at Scott Herman, at Scott Herman on Twitter, but good luck spelling my name. It's SEO with one T, HERRMANN. Same thing on Facebook. You can find them there. I tend to post more things cycling related on Twitter than I do on Facebook. But a funny thing to follow on Twitter, I wish I could remember the name of it right now, and I can't, but it's something, I think it's called Why Women Live Longer. You guys ever seen this?
No.
No.
It's just men doing stupid things. Just absolutely, you know, like putting the ladder on top of the garbage can so they can clean in the gutters and then watching them fall. It's pretty funny. I don't remember who tipped me off to it, but it's good. Why Women Live Longer, I think is what it's called.
Outstanding.
How's that?
That is perfect. All right, Mr. David Palin.
Yep, that's me, Mr. David Palin, on Instagram, on the Twitter, Mr. David Palin. And Scott Herman, you know I'm still trying to convince you and the boss, Julie Herman, to come out and do Michigan Coast to Coast this year, Mother's Day weekend. Geez. It's a great prep for doing Dirty Kansas.
I can ride a cross bike really fast for a really short period of time.
It's only 200 miles. And I'm just throwing it out there. I know you've done the Breck Epic. That's multiple days.
How about a relay? Can we do a relay? Is there a relay part of this?
They do have a half distance, 100-mile distance, so you can meet Julie at the halfway point.
We need like a wide-angle podium corporate relay.
Perfect.
Well, I
perfect.
Wouldn't be part of it. I don't know if you noticed that. I wouldn't be part of that relay. I could just cheer you guys on.
I don't know. You're kind of like the adjunct member now, so...
All right, sorry. Go ahead.
Wait,
Mr. Bill Shuggin.
I like that I get the Mister now. That's Scott's doing. Yeah. I'm all into this. Well, first off, follow Scott Diedenbach at cyclocross.net and also at Bike Shop CX. And then you can follow me at CX Hairs on Instagram and on Twitter. You can send a mail to the show at feedback@cxhairs.com. The one thing I would love for all of you to do, especially with Nationals coming up, is go to youtube.com/CXHairs and subscribe to that channel. I'm gonna have a lot of videos up there, and that's the, you can go to cxhairs.com, find them there, but if you just subscribe there, then they'll let you know, every time that a new one pops up, and we're gonna be hopefully filling up that Crosshairs television queue with lots of stuff from Nationals.
Nice.
I think that did
it. I look forward to it.
All right, guys.
That's where I
get. I will see all of you soon in Reno, Nevada.
Awesome. Thanks again for having me, guys.
See you there.
It was fun.
Yeah, thanks.